Hey friends, so glad you are joining me here on the By His Grace podcast. I am your host, Misty Phillip. I'm the author of The Struggle is Real, But So is God Bible Study. I am a women's ministry and conference speaker, the host of this amazing podcast, and the founder of Spark Media. Today, I want to thank the thousands of listeners that tune in each week all over the world. You are amazing, and I am so grateful for each one of you. Can you believe that it is almost time for Christmas? And you know what that means? It's almost time for my birthday. It kind of stinks having a birthday so close to Christmas. People are always like, Merry Christmas, happy birthday. But you know what? This year is a big birthday. I turn the big 5-0. I know, right? I can't believe it either. But you know what I thought would be fun is to see if we could get 50 more reviews for the By His Grace podcast to celebrate my birthday. What do you think? I think we can do it. It doesn't cost anything. All you need to do is go to Apple or wherever you listen to podcasts, find the By His Grace podcast and share your feedback. It's that easy. And I would love for us to reach 50 more reviews by the end of this year. Now, do you love a good story as much as I do? Stories engage us, teach us, and inspire us. I wonder if that's why Jesus so often used stories and parables to teach. My guest this week on By His Grace is a master storyteller. His name is Robert Ferguson, and he is the teaching pastor at Hillsong Church in Australia, where he has been on staff for over 30 years. He is passionate about imparting practical life principles from the Bible, and his primary responsibilities involve pastoral oversight and preaching and teaching. He is here today on By His Grace to talk about storytelling and his new book, Are You Getting This? Teaching, Preaching, and Storytelling. We have a wonderful conversation about the heart of storytelling, being used by God, his methodology that he uses to teach communications, and some snippets from his new book, Are You Getting This? So please welcome Robert Ferguson to By His Grace. Robert Ferguson, welcome to the By His Grace podcast. I am so delighted to have you with me here today.
Well, it's an honor to be with you from across the world.
Yes, it's amazing the technology that we have to make this possible. I'm excited because you just wrote a new book on storytelling. And I had a couple of questions for you, so I thought I'd just dive right in. How did you find the fire that helped you overcome your fear of snakes and public speaking? And how did you cultivate that?
Well, you are calling on one of the chapters in the book, which is called Fire Overcomes Fear. And I was never a public speaker. In fact, I was terrified of public speaking. At school, I never got a part in one of the school plays. I have the school report still in my possession that say that I was stupid, that I was a disappointment, that I couldn't achieve anything, and specifically said, this boy cannot express himself in public. So you can imagine the idea of public speaking was a terrifying prospect. So when I became a believer in Christ, and when it was evident that I was meant to be a speaker, it terrified me. So what I had to do was to discover something in me that was greater than my fear. And one of the key texts that really helped me was Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9, where Jeremiah, who I think shares many of our stories, was terrified of doing what he was meant to do, said, when I choose to speak, I get into trouble, but the fire within me, the fire of God's word within me, is greater than my opposition. And I think that is the great key. I'm a great believer in helping people find their fire.
Mm, that's so good. You know, I actually was afraid to speak to, I homeschooled my kids and I didn't want my kids to have that same fear. So I put them in speech and debate in junior high and high school. I homeschooled them. And it's kind of funny, fast forward now, God has me speaking and podcasting and doing all of these things to use my voice. But when I first initially started out, I was that afraid, but I had a training ground, with their speech and debate. You know, it's one of the number one fears that people are afraid. But when you've got that call of Jesus in you, like, I can't help but get it out, right?
Absolutely. And I think the calling, there's a whole chapter in the book on calling. And I would say that second to my conversion in Christ, my calling to the ministry to do what I do was and is the most significant thing in my life. It is the thing that has enabled me to go forward. And you and I know that sometimes you don't want to do certain things, but the calling within is a motivation. I get up to do what I do because God has asked me to do it.
Yeah, but this wasn't just a straight path. Like, you didn't just, like, you know, graduate and say, I'm going to become a pastor. You had a windy road that led there. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I've been doing this a long time. So I've been a preacher now for 46 years, and I've been training communication and preaching for 30 years. So, but it's not my experience, it's not my education, it's not my background that enables me to do what I do. It's what you say. It's the grace of God. We are qualified by the grace of God. And still today, to be honest, I get nervous. I speak in front of large crowds, small crowds, even talking to you today. There's a measure of nerves about it because I think that is part of our humanity. But when we have something valuable to speak about, when we have something compelling to tell people about, that deals with our problems. And I mentioned that if you're a mum and you love your child, which of course you do, but you are terrified of snakes, you will actually step over the snake to get to your child. And I do that with when I'm training my students. I try and ask them, what is it that you are so passionate about, so angry about, that you would do anything to achieve it? That's what I want you to speak about.
Mm, that's good. Well, and you use storytelling and you use stories from your life experience. I went on your Instagram feed and I saw a reel that you did about a toilet urinal in a museum and a squirrel and all of these very different unrelated things. And, you know, that's how my husband tells stories. And I'm like, where is he going with this? Because he's talking about these things that don't work together at all, but he's got a purpose and a plan. So I'd love to know how you weave those things that maybe we don't see the connection, but then you weave them together and you pull in your life experiences.
Well, I think it was Victor Borgia, the Danish comedian, who said that humor is the shortest distance between two people. But it could be argued that storytelling is the shortest distance. So imagine you and I are on a plane. I've never met you. You turn to me and you say, what do you do? Well, if I just name what I do, that can be immediately a barrier. But if I start telling you a story, you are engaged. You want to know, well, what is your story? I could tell you the story of how I became a Christian. And even though you may not agree with what I say, a person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. So I will often tell us stories. So people will say, what do you do? And I say, well, imagine I come from Australia. There's a small guitar company that makes beautiful guitars. It takes 6 weeks to make those guitars. Now, at the end of the 6 weeks process, somebody comes in and checks those guitars. And if they don't pass the test, if they don't play well, if they don't look good, then they're discarded and the creative has to start all over again. I say, in my role, I am the person who checks guitars.
Oh, very good.
So as soon as they say that, they will, and I'm just giving you one example, yeah, they will say, okay, so tell me about that.
That's awesome. So what is at the heart of your storytelling and how do you keep it fresh?
Look, I think everybody has a story and there are millions of stories in the world. God has all the stories in the world, but every one of us just going to work or walking around our house or going to the shops, we see things. And the great comedians, the great communicators observe things and apply them to people's lives. And I think all of us just have to keep our eyes open.
Yeah, I agree with that completely because as an author and a speaker myself, you know, I'm always making little notes of little things. Oh, that'll be good to, you know, to put in a story one time. So yeah, I love that. What advice would you give to someone who is afraid of public speaking or who doesn't know how to tell their story?
Well, as I said, as you said, at the top of the list of fears in certain contexts is the fear of public speaking. It's even greater than the fear of death. So as I said, start with somebody's passion. A number of years ago, I had a student. I asked the student to speak in front of 10 people. And they were so terrified that they ran out of the room in tears. And I had to retrieve them from the fire and call them back in. And I said, just give me 5 minutes with you and we will resolve this problem. And so still teary, still terrified, I said, what makes you angry? And she didn't know what I meant. So I started giving her little clues as to what may make her angry. And suddenly she started lighting up. Her tears disappeared. She started getting passionate. She said, I'll tell you what makes me angry. I can't remember exactly what it was, but it was something like injustice. When people are unjust, that's what makes me angry. So I then just helped fashion that thought and that passion. And the next week, she was speaking with eloquence, with passion in front of 500 people.
Wow.
So the key is to identify that passion. If we can identify that, we can get anybody to speak publicly.
I am so glad that you said that. I am going to use that on myself because, you know, the first time that I went to speak at my church, I was sharing my testimony and I was on the stage. I was holding a microphone. The spotlights were on me. But before that, I physically made myself ill and I was driving my family crazy. And my husband said, if you don't get over this, we're not going to let you speak because you're making yourself sick and you're driving us crazy. And I took the posture of just praise. I had a friend who said, Misty, just start thanking God. Thank him that you have the opportunity to speak. Thank him that you have a story to tell. You know, just, and that morning I just, instead of, you know, where I might normally be a Martha running around trying to help things get set up for the event, I just stood in worship and just praised God. And then I think I just kind of stepped away so that he could do what only he could do through me.
Well, look, you are following good biblical advice. In Philippians 4, it says, be anxious about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request known to God with thanksgiving, and then God's peace will come. But I think apart from praise, gratitude, passion, or just the simple principle of telling a story can relax you. So I often tell people to start with a personal story. So one of the little techniques that I use when I'm training people, I will call people forward and without explanation or without warning, and I will just give them a subject, any subject. So let's say I give them the subject of frogs. And then I say, what is the first thing that comes into your mind when I tell you frogs? Now, every one of us has a memory. It could be something we've seen in a movie or a film or a television program or something that's happened to us in a child, as a child. And I say, start telling me that story. And so they say, well, I was 5 years old and a frog got into my bedroom and I was terrified. And so they tell the story. And as they begin to tell their story, their nerves start dissipating. And then I say, as you tell the story, think about what it was that you learned from the experience, and then tell me about that. And so they tell me about the experience. Well, I was terrified standing on my bed screaming, and my mother came in and picked the frog up and handed it or showed it to me. And I realized that what was threatening me wasn't as big as I thought, or whatever it is. But it was that idea of starting with a story and then thinking, what did I learn from that?
Now, do you have a methodology that you teach to help people to share their story, or an arc, a story arc that you share with them?
Yes, well, in the book, I talk about, I've tried many things, and I do still try many different techniques, because I don't think there is one technique. But in the book, I talk about when we go to watch a classic quest movie, for instance, whether it's Star Wars or Lord of the Rings or The Lion King, they all follow the same arc. The hero or heroine starts at home, comes or is challenged or called by some sort of figure, a mentor, to do something great. They go through a journey of discovery, reach their goal, and then they return home again. So the story arc of a classic quest movie is home, call, discovery, goal, return. So I basically follow that story arc when I'm preaching or when I'm teaching. I follow the story arc. And the reason that I do that is because all of us automatically engage with stories. I call it something different. I start with a story. I create tension. I make observations. And then I bring people to a revelation. And then I say, what are you going to do about it? So I've changed the story up: story, tension, observations, revelation, you, which of course spells story. So it's easier to remember and easy to communicate.
Yeah. And I love that. That's great. So how do you leave your experience? How do you weave your experiences together to impact people for the gospel?
Look, my primary goal is to challenge people about their relationship and talk to people about their relationship with Christ. When I don't know if you realize, but I was used to be a biologist, and I did a degree in zoology, and I was called by God at university to be a minister, and I ran away. I was like Jonah. I went as far away as possible because the last thing I wanted to be was a minister. So I decided to train as a biology teacher, and I was in a classroom teaching students about a leaf as it happened. And I know this may sound strange, but you understand, God spoke to me as clear as I'm speaking to you now and said, what are you doing? It was as real as that. It was just like the call that God gave to Elijah. What are you doing here? And I said, I'm telling them about a leaf. I almost said it out loud. It was so real. Mm-hmm. I'm telling them about a leaf. And he said, you should be telling them about me. Mm. And that for me was the turning point in my life. I love biology still. And if people are called, if your listeners are called to be biology teachers, good on them. That's the best thing that they can be. But for me, that was a turning point. I couldn't be a biology teacher anymore. I had to tell people about him.
Yeah. Well, and luckily for you that it didn't have to go to the lengths at which it went with Jonah. So
almost. Yeah.
So do you have a favorite passage in the Bible or favorite scripture that's really impacted your life?
Look, to be honest, I always try and avoid having a favorite passage or a favorite scripture, because as soon as you have one, you tend to think of that as opposed to the Bible as a whole. And I'm a great believer that the whole Bible can speak to you. Equally, I don't have favorite preachers for the same reason, because anybody can be used by God to speak to me. But in the context of storytelling, Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus said he didn't do anything without first or without revealing what he was saying through story, is really critical to me. And also in Deuteronomy chapter 6, where God says, when your children ask you, you would know this as a parent, when your children ask you why you believe what you believe, tell them this story. Tell them the story of your rescue. So those two passages are central to my storytelling idea.
Yeah, that's brilliant. In Deuteronomy, it says, you know, tell them when you get up in the morning and when you're walking along the way and when you sit down. And that is just, we're continually telling God's story and telling of his goodness and showing them in the way that they should go.
Absolutely. And that is their creed, the Jewish creed contained in that passage. And one of the things they do is they put that verse and a few others in the mezuzah, the receptacle that they put on their doorposts. And that is their opportunity to talk about their story. And I have a friend who is a rabbi, and he said that he uses his mezuzah, that receptacle, as a height marker on his children's doors, so that when they recheck their height, he will retell the story. And I thought that was a beautiful way of how you incorporate story in the normal course of your parenting.
Yeah, I love that. And Jesus was a storyteller. I mean, Jesus spoke in parables. He spoke in stories when the Pharisees tried to trip him up in things. You know, he sat there and took a minute and just like drew in the sand. Is there a parable or a story that Jesus told that you really like?
Look, I like them all. I think there are around about 35 of them. And one of the great keys to Jesus' parables is that they're all memorable. And he spoke to people's situation. I was brought up on a farm in the south of England. And so I love agricultural images because that was my heritage. So the idea of the lost sheep or the idea of the vineyard is possibly those ones are the ones that impact me the most, because I immediately can picture them. I immediately can understand them. But of course, he was speaking to an agricultural audience. So that's how he did it. If he was walking around today doing the same thing, he would use slightly different images, I suggest.
Probably so. Well, this year has been not like any other. You know, here in America, at least, in addition to COVID, we've had wildfires and hurricanes and just insanity, social unrest and political upheaval. And, you know, people are really struggling, I think. If you could, you know, have a message for them, what would you say to them?
Well, firstly, I would say that when I am in crisis, as the world is in crisis at the moment, what I do is I look into the Bible to find someone who is going through a similar situation to me, and they become my mentor. And God's word to them is God's word to me. So I look for people going through crisis, whether it be Paul in prison, whether it be Job going through challenging times, whether it be Joshua having to completely change the way he did things to move into a new future. And that's what I do. So we're in the middle of a storm. You specifically in the States have gone through all manner of storms this year, and in some ways are still going through them. So I would look at the storms in the Bible. What did Paul do in a storm? What did Jesus do in a storm? And if you look, for instance, at Jesus crossing the Sea of Galilee in a storm, what did he do? Well, one of the wonderful things he did, he slept through the storm. he had an understanding of the peace of God that all of us need in this time. That's what we need. We need to be able to sleep despite the storm. It will come, but we need to be able to sleep. But he also saw through the storm. And I think that is so critical. We don't just see this season, we see beyond the season. And when his disciples said, "We're going to drown," he said, "Where's your faith?"
Yeah.
He had just been sleeping through it, and he saw through it. I told you we were going to get to the other side. And that's how I see this year. I don't see this threat as a threat. I see it as an opportunity. And like all seasons, it will come to a conclusion.
Yeah, This too shall pass. And faith is, yeah, and faith is the key that gets us through. And Jesus warned us even in his last dissertation to the disciples before he left. And he said, in this world, you will have tribulation, not you might have tribulation, or maybe it'll be uncomfortable. He warned us, like, there's going to be trouble. But he said, take heart, because I've overcome the world. And so if we have that hope within us, then we can hold on to that hope and that faith.
I totally agree. And it's amazing to me that people are shocked when tough times come. The fact is, Jesus, as you say, promised us there will be tough times, there will be persecution, there will be difficulty, but I am in the boat.
That's right. That's right. That's amazing. Well, tell everyone about this book that you've written. What is the name of it?
Okay, it's called Are You Getting This? Preaching, Teaching, and Storytelling. Now, it's written for everybody. So you may be a mum trying desperately to teach your children. You may be a dad trying to help them get through a particular challenge. You may be a business person who's trying to share an idea with a team. It doesn't really matter what your life circumstance, you have the opportunity and the privilege to communicate. And we need to learn some of the skills and the science of communication. So I believe it will help people. It's about effective communication, either if you're a preacher through preaching, if you're a teacher through teaching, or with all of us through storytelling.
Well, and how did you get the name, Are You Getting This?
Well, I have a passionate desire to see people understand a concept. So it's a little mantra of mine. And as soon as I put it on the cover, those people who know me know that it's my book, because I am saying, are you getting this? Do you understand these things? And that's exactly what Jesus did. He said to his disciples, have you understood what I'm saying? Of course, they hadn't, which is why he told them stories. But this is my mantra. And a friend of mine used to say, if ever you are going to write a book on communication, you should call it, Are You Getting This? So I took their advice.
Well, that's wonderful. I cannot wait to read it. I haven't had the chance to read it yet, but we are going to get that for over our Christmas holiday and read that. So thank you so much for coming on to the By His Grace show and for sharing your love of Jesus and storytelling and how to be an effective communicator, because we all need to learn how to communicate that hope that lies within us.
Well, thanks very much, Misty. It's been an honor and a privilege, and I trust you are blessed by the book and have a wonderful Christmas season.
Thank you so much. Thank you for joining me today on By His Grace. I hope you've enjoyed listening and are encouraged by our guest today. I would love for you to visit my blog, mistyphillip.com, for more encouragement. You can find me on social media as Misty Philip, and I would love to connect with you there.